Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Good evening. We had a wonderful, wonderful crowd yesterday, and it was just awesome, and the music team did amazing, and everybody, and was just really, really awesome. There's quite a few people that are not feeling good tonight, and Ken's out of town, and you could please pray for our mom as she is struggling and breathing and different things, and we're just trusting God on her behalf more and more. Day by day, she continues to say, I want to go home, and it just kind of appears that she is getting closer. So we're just going to... How was your Easter dinner yesterday? Awesome, amazing? Well, good for you. I'm going to talk about relationships tonight, and I'm going to talk about how our integrity and everything in life, we're going to be tested. We're going to be tested in life. So I'll tell you what happened to us yesterday. So we had a wonderful, amazing service. I thought we did fairly well on the message. He is risen. The story is not over yet. And after service, Pastor Ken and I, our whole group, we had reservations for Jameson's Steakhouse, Char Steakhouse, at 1:30. So we pulled up, and the fire department had closed them down temporarily. And I cannot tell you how upset I was. We wound up at Willow Hill that I once told Joe Cortez and his mother, this is not good food. So we wound up at Willow Hill. Pastor Ken had a BLT, and I had some kind of white bread with hot turkey on it. And I was just so upset. And Pastor Ken was he said, Pam, are you okay? And I go, not really. I said, actually, these people, there was very few people there for obvious reasons. I said, these people planned to be here. I didn't. I don't belong here. I said, I didn't plan to be here. And I said, and they were all over us. They were so happy because they weren't going to have a lot of people but us, you know. And so as the meal went on, I just grew angry. I'm like, I'm going to call this. I'm going to do this. I'll have a Yelp review. I'm sitting there writing Yelp as we're trying to have dinner, and I'm writing Yelp. And Pastor Kent turns to me and says, as only he can say, he said, you know what you need? He said, I know a class you can take. This woman is amazing. And said, I went to it, and she taught the best lesson on anger I've ever heard in my life. He said, maybe you should go to class. And I said, maybe I should. I said, maybe now. I said, in fact, I'm going to revise the class to say, sometimes you can get angry, but sin not. But before I left there, I could clearly see that the people at the restaurant were so delighted to have us, to have a group, you know, of us. And we were able to turn that into a good thing, you know, to recognize that we're together by the grace of God. And I kind of let it go until later in the evening. Watch how the enemy will test you. I go online and it says open until 8:00. And I'm like, whoa. So I get on the phone. I'm really angry now. I get on the phone and I call the people. Sure enough, they're open. And I'm like, hello, are you serving dinner? Yes, we are. I said, I'm here 1:30 with 7 people. Oh, we'll check our books. Sure enough, I am. Oh, we're so sorry. And I go, sorry? I said, it's Easter. And I'm just like, then I'm thinking of the sermon and the message and the anger class. And I'm like, okay, pull it together, pull it together. But life happens. Life happens. And we have to maintain our integrity. And I said, you know what? It's okay. It's okay, and it really is okay. But we're all going to be tested, and I wanted to share that because we're going to begin on relationships tonight for several weeks, probably 4 weeks. And I want to tell you that the title is How to Do Relationships God's Way, and we are created in the image and likeness of God. What that means is we actually look like our Father. We have a nose and arms and everything. We look like our Father God, but created in his likeness means we are to act like him. You know, we are Christians. We are not, we are to be holy like God is holy. We are not to act like children who are the spawn of Satan. We really need to act like our Father God, who has been so kind and gracious to us. And we're created by God because God wanted a family. He wanted to have and he wants us to have a relationship with him, but that relationship should extend to others that he has created because they are also his creation. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday when we made the statement, one of us made the statement that Jesus would rather die than live without you and I. And sometimes we think, I'd rather die than live with you. That is not the way it should be. When Jesus died on the cross, let me tell you what that did. That put us in the royal family. We are now the family of God. We are children of the King. The Bible even goes further to say we're kings and priests of the Most High God. So we should certainly strive and do our best to honor, have God honoring healthy relationships. Now, I want to tell you something about having healthy relationships. The word healthy, the root word is heal. But let me tell you something that I never had really zeroed in until I began studying this teaching. Not only should we have healthy, healed relationships, we need to know what the word healed means. It means salvation. We need saved relationships. I need to be saved in my relationship. You need to be saved in your relationship. And the relationship we had should save us, should keep us safe, should keep us protected. Because that's how it should be in the kingdom of God. And we need to have saved relationships with others who are also created in God's image and his likeness. My father used to say a lot of times to us in particular, how my children act is a direct reflection of who I am and my character and who I am as a father. And there is no father on earth that wants their children to constantly be fighting and arguing. God is not pleased with that kind of behavior. In fact, it breaks his heart. And not only does no father on earth want their children to act this way, neither does any father in our Father in heaven, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our relationship should God with God and others should be an example and a testimony of God's love. We should be striving to honor our Father in our relationships, to honor the sacrifice that Jesus made. Remember, I told you a long time ago that when Princess Diana was going to marry Prince Charles, she had to take classes to be instructed regarding how a member of the royal family should act. There are things that a prince and a princess cannot do or say. They cannot say words like dumb or stupid or idiot and things that we kind of throw around like slang, no slang, things like that, certain things that they cannot do, how they sit, how they stand. There is a royal instruction booklet. Wow. Guess what? And why is that? Because the standard of the king's family is higher than commoners. We are not commoners, people. And you know what? We have a royal instruction book that tells us what to do and what not to do because we are kings and priests of the Most High God. I have always said this to my brother privately when I see and hear some of the things that believers are okay with, that there's no standard and there's certainly no higher standard. They've set the bar too low for themselves, but God has set the bar high because of the cross. And remember this, that in king's times, you could not go into the king's presence with a sad countenance. You could actually be killed. I don't know how often that happened or not happened, but you could, because the king took this very personally. How dare you be sad in my kingdom after I have provided you with this and this and this, and you come before me and you've got some complaints about my kingdom and who I am? You know, this is the way God has to feel, that this is not right. As heirs of the kingdom, we need to act honorably towards the king and towards the king's servants, everything, straight across the board. We need to remember that we are ambassadors to this earth. We are in the world, not of the world. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are here on assignment. And not just one assignment. We have many assignments while we're here. God expects you to multitask. Yes, you can sing and play an instrument. Yes, you can teach a class and also clean the toilets. Yes, you can. That's what we all can do. But there are some things we're going to learn, we're going to go through in the next coming weeks about relationships. But I want to talk to you about times when people can make relationship impossible. Would you agree to that? They can make it almost impossible. But we cannot afford to lose our focus. So I'm going to tell you I'm going to use pastoring as an example, but I want you to apply it to your own life. Being a pastor is like driving a bus. I've got a whole group of people on my bus, okay? And I know the destination, and I know how to get us there. But there's people on the bus, and sometimes the people on the bus are going to start complaining. They're going to say, I don't like other people that are on the bus with me. I don't like them. I don't want them on the bus. I don't like them. They're mean. They're natty. They don't like the people. They start complaining. Another common complaint is, I don't like the music on the bus. I don't like the kind of music in the church. The people on the bus don't like it, so they'll start complaining. Eventually, this starts affecting and infecting the other people on the bus. From time to time, something else will happen. Someone will decide, I'm getting off this bus. When that happens, do you see a CTA bus driver when he's driving? If someone gets off the bus, do you see him crying? Do you see him grieving? Oh my goodness, they get off my bus. No. You know what? That's probably a complainer. Maybe he'll catch the next bus. Maybe he won't. But sometimes when God removes a relationship from your life, he did not do it to you. He did it for you. And he did it for the other people that are on the bus so that they do not be subject to the complaining or become affected and infected. Do you understand that? In your own life, there's going to be people that get off your bus. Do not get crazy. Do not just grieve it so long. What did God tell the prophet Samuel about King Saul? When King Saul made a decision to reject God and be disobedient and rebellious to God, here's what God told Samuel. Samuel almost couldn't take it. Saul's getting off the bus, and he says to Samuel, how long will you mourn for him since I have rejected him? Now, he didn't reject him as a person. We can all repent. He rejected him as king of Israel. But he said, how long are you going to complain? So that's what I would say to us. If God has allowed someone, because we have free choice on the bus, we can get off the bus if we want to, or we can stay on and arrive to our destination. Now, a lot of times the people on the bus will say, you're going too fast, you're doing it wrong, you're going too slow, you should turn here, you should do this. No. We have the bus driver, you have to keep your focus. If you're driving the bus, Rita, you got to keep going. No, I'm on my way to heaven. You want to come with me on the bus? We don't need all the complaining. The music is good. We're going to still play the same music. Tony's not going to change the songs because there's complaining on the bus. If you want to get off, it's okay. Stop grieving and continue with your assignment for the other people, for the sake of the others. Continue rejoicing, continue praising, and continuing having good relationship. So sometimes in a relationship, God will allow someone to be removed from your life for your good, for your good. But that's not to say that you try to kick them off the bus. That's not to say you try, get off, I don't like you. No, that's not how it's done. You let God take care of God's business, and you do your very best to love every single person on the bus. If they're hurting, you try to help them. If they have bad attitudes, you try to encourage them. You know what? I do like the music here. Come on, let's try this. But relationships, I'm going to say a couple things tonight as we set a foundation. Relationships can be hard. We all have differences, but at the same time, we all have the same battles, pride, selfishness, things like that. We are simply imperfect people serving a perfect God. And so you would say, well, why are relationships difficult? Well, let me help you with that. We're human beings. We're human beings, and we have differences, but here's the thing. Sometimes we get emotional. Sometimes we get angry, hangry, whatever you want to call it. We have good days, bad days. We get tired, and so we become frustrated. We get very angry, like me yesterday, very angry. But here's the thing. Maybe I'm not angry, but maybe somebody else on the bus is angry. Maybe they're tired. So that's like the perfect storm. And we have to learn to navigate these relationships in a way that would honor God. That's going to mean we have to forgive some people on the bus. That's going to mean that we have to offer mercy and grace. And because we all have strengths, we all have weaknesses, but here's the thing. We need each other. We need each other. Do you honestly tell me that you would like to just sit on the bus all by yourself for the rest of your life? No. You really wouldn't. You might think you would. I can live without these people, but you really can't live a satisfied, blessed, happy life. I want you to picture the bus like being a church. This is a big bus, and people are singing like they were yesterday and rejoicing and laughing and hugging, and that's the kind of bus you want to be on. You don't want to be on a bus with one person or a bunch of hateful people. So we need to understand, we need to make allowances for one another because and offer grace and mercy and forgiveness. And why should I do that? Why should I do that? Because Jesus allows for our weaknesses and offers us grace and mercy. And he still loves us when we're hangry and when we're mad at the people at the restaurant and all kinds of other people. And, you know, a healthy relationship, a saved relationship, requires effort and hard work in order to grow. Relationships that are healthy, I want to say something else, are not one-sided. They are absolutely not one-sided. It takes two people to enter into a healed relationship. We need healed relationships, and if I had a bullet tonight, I would have this up there. We need healed relationships, but we also need a relationship with the healer. That's what we need, a relationship with our Savior, a relationship with the healer. So I want to begin with the first point and lesson tonight. Each of us must take responsibility for our relationships. You don't let one person in a relationship carry the relationship. You don't let them carry the load. In any relationship, in any covenant agreement, there are two parties involved, and I have a responsibility to that relationship, including my relationship with God and my relationship with you. Many people, they want you to forgive them, but they will not forgive. It doesn't work that way. Not in a healthy, healed relationship. They want you to give, but they don't want to give you. And they want you to call them, but they will not make that phone call to anyone else. Let me tell you something T.D. Jakes taught, and I believe this is important. I may have said this before. Any relationship, and it hit me hard, any relationship that does not have reciprocity will die. It simply will not last. It's impossible. It can go for a short time, but then it has to be dropped because one person is carrying a load that is too heavy because the Bible says we are to bear one another's burdens. And if one person carries it, they will become weary and eventually they will be unable to carry you any longer. Let me read to you a couple verses. Galatians 6, 2-3, New Living. Share each other's burdens. In this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help someone else, you are only fooling yourself. Hebrews 13:16. Do not forget to do good and share what you have because God is pleased with these kind of sacrifices. Luke 3:10-11. The crowds ask, what then should we do? And he answered, if you have two shirts, you must share with the one who has none, and whoever has food must do the same. Did you notice the word share? Bear and share. Bear one another's burdens and share your love, share your family, share your bread, share what you have, share your coats, everything. That's what we must do. The second lesson tonight would be in any healthy or healed relationship, you must be willing to sacrifice. It requires a sacrifice. There are many people who say they love others, but that's the end of it. They said it, but to say you love is not the same as actually loving. Love is not a noun. It is a verb. It requires action. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than a man lay down his life for his friend. That's sacrifice. There are going to be times when you're going to have to lay down and offer a sacrifice of your time. You're going to have to lay down your time. You're going to have to lay down finances, whatever it may be. You're going to have to lay down your own will and submit to the will of another. We have to be willing to be honest and transparent and have integrity. That's our third point. If you want healthy relationships, they require integrity, faithfulness, and loyalty. You can make mistakes, but the Bible says quite a bit about friends and friendships. Now, I want to tell you something else. This is a verse that I shared with someone who was questioning me about, I don't even mind telling you about my loyalty to Tim Rawson. And they wanted to talk against him. And you cannot say you love someone and talk against them when they leave the room. Not in a negative way. You can share and you can discuss, but there has to be love. It has to be done in integrity. And someone was asking me, what's your thoughts on this? And I gave them a verse that God gave me. Do you know that the Bible says to be faithful to your friend and your father's friend? This goes back generations both ways. This is a very, very powerful, powerful verse. Not only are you to be faithful to your friends, but to their family members too. You know, when I recently did the service for Hartford, the one thing that I felt God very, 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 very strongly told me to put in that service that Frieda and Tony know, and those who were here that day, was about where this all came from, where these children that serve God, how did this come about? That was their father and mother. And that it comes from somewhere. And we have to honor them in order to honor our friends. So, you know, we need to, in friendships, we have to have integrity, we have to have loyalty. We have to focus on becoming a friend instead of looking for friends. Many people say, I don't have friends, but it's better to be a friend than to have a friend. I shouldn't be seeking friends. I should be seeking people I can be a friend to. And, you know, there are just so many things to go through here. God-honoring relationships will make your life easier and sweeter. And relationships are valuable. Why are relationships so valuable? Because people are so valuable to God. And these are children of God that you're entering into relationships with. We need to never forget that. Let me read to you another verse about friends. Proverbs 18:24. This will help us all. A man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And I can pick up on that because my brother and I are very, very close. And we're also very, very good friends. And so there's a friend that sticks even closer. My brother's by my side often. My mother and I talk about this all the time, that we're just not going to be separated. It's like David and Jonathan, Naomi, Ruth and Naomi, where you go, I go. That's our commitment to one another. That's just how it is. And that's a loyalty. But you know, you can't tell me that you don't have friends if you're unfriendly and you're unapproachable. We have to be willing to reach out and do our part. I'm going to tell you a funny story going back 8 or 9 years ago. A lady was complaining to me and telling me that basically nobody ever calls her. I mean, they never, ever, ever call her. And we were sitting at lunch that day. No one gives her a call. She's just kind of off the radar kind of thing. And I noticed that she had her phone in her hand. So I said, may I see your phone for a few minutes? And she handed me her phone. Big mistake. Huge mistake. And I said, who would you like to speak to? And she named, well, I wish so-and-so would call me. And I said, you know what? I'm going to call her right now, and she's going to, I promise you, she's going to be thrilled to hear from you. Probably never got a call from you, right? No, because she never called me. I said, let's just stop this. Let's just stop the complaining. Because it works both ways. The phone, you've heard that saying, but that's just the truth. That's the reality. It works both ways. I could sit home all day long and say, why hasn't Frieda called me? Why hasn't Frieda called me? Is she a mind reader? Does she know I'm going through something? Or should I call her and say, hey, girlfriend, I've got some really, really crazy stuff going on. I need prayer. Could we meet? Could we hang out? We met the other day at Olive Garden. We didn't just accidentally run into each other. You know, that did not just, oh, you're here. Oh, my goodness, we didn't make a call and you didn't make a call. No, friendships must be cultivated and nurtured intentionally. Intentionally. You have to put some birthdays on your calendar, okay? You have to be proactive with a friendship. It doesn't happen by accident. In the same way, let's talk about our relationship with God. You need to put time on your calendar for God, for prayer. I know Tony has regular Bible reading. That's not accidental. Tony's like, oh, wait, there's the Bible. Maybe I should look at that. You know, it doesn't work that way. You're intentional with your relationship with God. And that is why when people tell me, oh, I'm a prayer person, I'm a person of prayer, I will always ask them, without missing a beat, where do you pray? And a lot of people will say, oh, just everywhere, just all the time, just dear Jesus, dear God, do this, do that, give me a parking spot, dear God, help me find Fruit Loops on the shelf, you know, things like that. You know, I pray all the time. A person of prayer actually has a place of prayer, more than likely. Now, you're not held to that, of course. I pray in my car a lot. Holy Spirit, go with me, be with me. But normally, I know in my home, there's a place, an altar. You have a place that you kind of go to pray, a prayer closet, a place, whether it's your den, some place where you keep your Bible and your highlighters and things. Because our relationship with God, if it's going to be healthy, it needs to be intentional. So I'm going to list some types of relationships that are important. Number one, our relationship with God. Number two, our relationship with our family. And that's the one that's the test, okay? Number three, the next test, relationship with friends and church members. That's the next test. Number four, relationship with spouse. That's the huge test. That's the big one if you're married. Number five, relationships with neighbors, coworkers, and the people at Jameson Steakhouse. That's a test. That's a test. Your relationship with them. It's just the way it is. There are people that they don't need to see you go crazy and then ask you, now, what do you do for a living? I think I would have just had to tell, you know what? I'm a waitress myself. You know, I work at home. You know, I would have been ashamed because I wasn't feeling so good towards everyone. The fact of the matter was I wasn't even feeling good at the people at the second restaurant that were Ken left. He had a lot of laughs, just so you know. I wasn't even feeling good towards them because I said, I just don't belong here. I just wasn't counting on this, you know. And so he's like, you're just kind of mad at the world today. And I'm like, I wasn't when I went to Easter service. He is risen, you know. I'm like, he is risen indeed. You know, all of a sudden it fell apart. And that's why we need the cross. That's why we need Jesus and forgiveness. We're human. I'm not ashamed to tell you. We're human like you're human. You know, God tries this material out on us, you know, kind of. And it's that way because I've always said this and I stand by this. The message is always first to the messenger. Let me tell you something. As I am typing messages, God is saying this and this and this and this. Adjustment here. Fix this. Do this. Any message like that. Get back to the cross. All of that. You know, and I know that here's a statement. You are responsible, you and I, how we treat all the people that God has put on this planet, and especially those he has put directly in your life. And that doesn't mean just the nice ones. I know that family is a test. I will stand you, Frida, family to family. Ken and I always say we put the fun back in dysfunction. But don't ever forget that you're in the family picture too. You're part of that family. So if something is going wrong, when they point at it, they're going to go, that family, and you're in it. So we need to do our best to fix things where we can. Let me read 1 John 4:20, and we're going to get ready to kind of close out here because there is just so much material on relationship. 1 John 4:20, whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. Ooh, that is in your face. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. That is a hard test to take, to write the question on a piece of paper, do I love my brother and sister? You can't skip over that verse. It's not going anywhere. You can't cross it out of the Bible. It's there to stay. You know, and I remember the quote that I read, and some of you have probably read this also. It was someone asking an older man how he had stayed married for over 55 years, and here's what he said. He said, "In my day, when something was broken, we did not go out and get a new one. We worked to fix what was broken." You don't just decide, I'm going to toss this relationship. I'm going to fix it. Today, people are too willing to throw away valuable relationships. And when we do this, we do so to our own hurt. And let me tell you why we don't throw away relationships. Because God did not throw us out, and he didn't kick us off the bus when we were angry and got in trouble. He picked us up, lifted us, and restored us back to life. So thank you for coming tonight.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.